Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Keep on rolling, baby.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Keep rolling. Another win against the White Sox. I don't care who it is. Just keep winning. Welcome to Fesco in the Morning. It's a way back Wednesday. You pick the song, you send it in, you say your name. Maybe tell us why. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 913-586-7610. Welcome to a way back Wednesday on Fesco in the Morning. Mac, what are we doing with this thing?
This was just my song.
Just your song today. Yes. All right. Yeah. Mac's like, I don't really want to get involved in anything like this today.
Yeah. Way back Wednesday.
So this goes out to a Mac.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, I'll step up. Let me go.
Yeah, you got to step it up.
Fitzsimone.
Yeah, come on now. Let's go. Let's step it up a little bit. You mentioned it's only against the White Sox and whatnot, but we'd be talking about, you know, dire straits that they lost these last two games against the White Sox. And I was kind of thinking about that, you know, this morning. I'm like, okay, they're winning games against the White Sox and whatnot. Everybody gets the opportunity to play the White Sox over the next, I don't know, 50 games or so. I was looking at a tweet from our sister station in San Diego, and they're like, we got the White Sox and the Marlins in six of the last 50 games, like 6% of our schedules against some of the bottom feeders of, you know, Major League Baseball. So everybody's going to get that opportunity. They're going to come around and they're going to play the White Sox and play the Marlins and teams of that nature that unloaded everybody and you don't know anybody on their teams anymore at the trade deadline. But you guys still got to win those games. And the Royals did, man. They took care of business again last night. Bobby Witt Jr., of course, in the center of everything. I thought Waka pitched well last night. And boy, oh boy, I heard this stat on the Ben Maller show. And this is the one that drives me nuts more than anything, because for me, blowing games and having your closer F it all up after your team, you know, went out there and fought for seven or eight innings, it's just the worst thing ever. The White Sox have more blown saves now this year than they do wins. I mean, that's just it's disheartening. I mean, that bullpen that they're rolling out there right now may be the most embarrassing thing. That's like a double-A bullpen that the White Sox are rolling out. And that dude that came in last night making his major league debut.
Take it easy.
I mean, this guy came in, he's firing balls all over the place. He couldn't control his emotions. And I don't know what it's in the big, I'm not going to pretend that I do, but that guy didn't handle the situation well. He looked like that moment was way too big for him. And if you know, a July at Comiskey Park playing for the White Sox against the Royals is too big for you, best of luck moving forward. But that guy was gassed right away and walks two guys to start that inning. And you just knew that that inning was going to be the one with the Royals were going to explode and find a way to win that baseball game. And hey, lo and behold, they did last night.
I knew the Royals were going to win as soon as this happened.
Anderson delivers. Fastball popped up, shallow center field. Roberts sprints in, still coming. It drops, base hit. Thanks, Garcia Lewis. Streaks in to score from third. This game is tied at two.
Here it is.
Freddie Fermin goes to second. And Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a game-tying hit.
As soon as that ball dropped, almost immediately.
A 1-2 pitch. Fastball punch, past third into left field, base hit. Blanco takes off. He rounds third. He's in to score standing. Now Wilson waves win around. The throw goes to second. Pasquantino's tagged out, but Witt slides in safely.
So again, we had a discussion yesterday of how Bobby Witt Jr. should be the MVP. I'm not here to tell you that everything when you're a most valuable player is flashy, or it shows up in the stat book, or it shows up on ESPN or whatever you're watching your highlights of baseball games. This is why Bobby Witt Jr. once again should be the MVP.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. comes up in the eighth inning once again, gets a base hit, nothing flashy, a ball that drops right in front of Luis Robajal.
Yeah, just a dunker, right?
Just gets there, and he's on first base. And as soon as he's on first base, you know that eventually he's going to find himself around the bases.
Yep.
You've also, like you mentioned, have a rookie pitcher debut coming in. And I remember watching the game last night. I look at my buddy, and I'm like, watch this. Let's see how nervous he gets.
So nervous. The first pitch, you knew it was over.
Bounces the ball. Yeah. He sends one past the catcher, which advanced.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Pasquantino comes up, and Bobby Witt Jr. goes from first to home, which, if you remember last night's game, that ended up being the game-winning run.
Yes.
Because they got a run in the bottom of the eighth. They didn't get another one. It was a little bit, you know, Hunter Harvey gives you the biting the fingernails vibe as a pitcher,
yeah.
But gets the job done. And the Royals win their 59th game. They get another quality start from their starting rotation and Michael Waka. That was their 54th quality start and their 29th come from behind win. There are times when at the end of the season, if you are in the playoffs or you are in the wild card or you are fighting for another round of the playoffs, you go back and you look at things like this throughout the season. I understand that it's the Chicago White Sox, but you came from behind again in the eighth inning using your star, who's an MVP, and leaning on your starting rotation. And that's exactly what they did. And again, like, I understand that, like, it wasn't the easiest of wins. It wasn't the most sit back. It was kind of, you had to come from behind and whatnot. But again, everybody that was supposed to do something in that moment, in that game last night, again, White Sox or not, did their job. Sam Long looked confident as hell in that closer role. Strikeout, fly out. Strikeout looking. When he hit that hook on the last batter, he just froze and looked, and it was just like, sorry, that's game. But again, all those sort of numbers. 59 wins obviously is nice. That's going to keep you going in the right direction. 54th
couple
quality
more
start.
And we won't lose 100 this year.
No doubt about it. And then 29 come from behind wins. And when you look at teams in the past that make the playoffs that are surprise teams, it's how do they get here? Well, they were never out of a game because they just never were going to quit, and they came from behind multiple times. That number is going to continue to rise. But again, a great win last night, whether it's the White Sox or not. You've won another series. You're going for a sweep. You're what now? 11-1 for Chicago?
Yeah, you got the opportunity to be 12-1 against the White Sox. And right there, that is the difference maker in finding a way into the postseason. Just think if you were 6-6 against the White Sox, right?
Yeah.
And you split these games against Chicago, where you would be, right? You probably wouldn't be in the position that you are right now, tied for second place in the Central with the Twins losing. Thank you very much, New York Mets, last night. And now you have a two-game lead in the wild card as well. You gained a game over Boston again last night. So you increased your lead. You increased the division lead with the Minnesota Twins and have tied them. You got a series with the Twins coming up rather soon, and you've widened the gap now between you and the Boston Red Sox as the next team that's trying to be on your heels to get into that wild card. So the Royals accomplished a lot last night, and did they find their closer? I don't know. I don't want to go through this every day where a new guy gets trotted out there. Well, we got our closer today. We got our closer today. Just win the games, man. Like, I don't know how they're going to continue to win games down the stretch or what's it's going to look like. I don't care. I don't care. As you mentioned yesterday about the individual stats, all of that nonsense, just find a way to win. And yesterday was a find a way to win type of game. It was very reminiscent, if you will, of, you know, Patrick Mahomes leading his offense this year and only scoring 13 points, them finding a way to win because the defense went out there and made some plays for you and kept you in the game and gave you that opportunity to win. And that's what Waka did last night. He kept you in the game, gave you the opportunity to go out there and get the win. And then when the White Sox went from their starter, who was damn good last night, that kid was really good.
Yeah, had a cannon.
He was really good last night. Like, I'm actually looking stuff up about him. Like, this guy's pretty good. And then I look at his numbers like, nah, he's really not. He's just having a nice night. But he was really good last night. They take him out of the game and they put, you know, Gasoline Von Gasoline in there. Mm-hmm. And that guy can't find the strike zone, let alone the catcher's mitt. And you took advantage of that. And that's what baseball's all about. Like, I know we're starting to kind of ride the ebbs and flows of this season more so than we have in the past. And it's starting to become reminiscent to me a little bit of the early days of Patrick Mahomes, where the Chiefs would be trailing early and I would get multiple texts from friends of mine screaming and yelling about the game. I'm like,
it's over.
There's 3:47 to go in the first quarter. I mean, like, why are you texting me about this game? Because you know what's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to win this football game.
Right.
And, you know, and you again text last night, oh, I don't know, is this the panic button time now? And I'm like, okay.
It's worked two nights in a row.
Put the phone away, Dusty. Like, put the phone down.
It's worked two nights in a row.
These games are 9 innings long, and in the third inning, they're down 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1 or whatever the score may be. It ain't panic button time because we know what happens at the end of these games. And, you know, I was talking yesterday about the free money on the Chicago White Sox betting against them if they have a lead in the eighth inning or later. I mean, so far, that's been free money for everybody around here because the White Sox now have blown two leads in the eighth inning or later against the Royals. And they're, you know, if you're betting against the White Sox in the eighth inning when they have a lead, you're cleaning up. You're taking home a big chunk of change. So hope they have a lead at the eighth inning today. Bet against the White Sox.
Yep.
And let's make this thing three in a row where the Royals find a way to win, get that sweep of the White Sox, which is imperative right now. It is imperative to get that sweep against the White Sox because now you go to Detroit and you have an opportunity in Detroit. And I think, quite honestly, anything less than 3 out of 4 in Detroit would be a disappointing trip to Detroit. They're not a team that's playing great baseball right now. They traded one of their big time pitchers yesterday. And so you have an opportunity now to take care of a team that basically waved the white flag when they traded Jack Flaherty yesterday. So the schedule is shaping up for you right now over the next couple of days to take advantage of. And you have to take advantage of it because it's not going to get any easier. There's games against Cleveland. There's games against Minnesota. There's games against the Yankees still to come. So you've got a schedule that is not going to be easy once you get through this kind of, I don't want to say honeymoon phase of the schedule or whatnot, but these are the games you have to take advantage of. Build up your wins, give yourself a little bit of cushion, go out there and take care of business against these bottom turds.
A lot of times in the NFL, you'll see post-game celebrations where they give away a game ball.
Yeah.
Our boy Vance got the game ball last night.
Well, you know, getting the guys on ahead of that, they're really patient at bat from Michael. You're down a run, you're probably trying to do, you have the instinct to try to do a little more than that. He took his walk, then a really good at-bat from Hampson to move the runner with two strikes because he didn't get the second until there were two strikes. He moves the runner. Freddie takes the walk. So all of those leading up to it, Bobby, you know, not trying to do too much. Anderson's throwing 96, 97, so tough guy to face. Gets the run in. You know, they kept the infield in because they know they're not unlikely to turn a double play on Bobby. So just making contact is huge there. And then Vinny, two strikes as well, I think, going the other way. Great base running from Bobby, but a great send from Vance, too. As soon as he sees that throw going to second, he never stopped.
How would you describe Bobby's speed there? And maybe, too, a little bit of the throw as well, just being able to have that instinct from Vance to go home.
Yeah, we're looking for that. You know, as a third base coach, if you see, you know, especially you got to have the guy that can do it. But, you know, Bobby never stops. And as soon as that throw starts going to second, it's worth the chance right there. And Vance saw it the whole way.
So guys on the same page.
Got to have that vision, Vance.
Vance wasn't on the ground. He wasn't like he normally is, which is great. Which
turtling.
I thought he was going to be, but Bobby wasn't going to be at third. And that alone right there, how much of it was nerve of the pitcher knowing that Bobby Witt Jr. is on base.
That's huge.
MVP sort of caliber. Yeah. Not going to stop. Knows the connection with his third base coach. Go ahead and send him.
Yeah.
And the Royals end up winning the game because of that run, because Bobby didn't stop. They win 4-3 against the White Sox, come from behind again. Their 29th time they've come from behind. Their 59th win. And the Royals are cooking. They got a 2-game lead over Boston, as you mentioned. They're tied with the Twins in the wild card. And they're 4.5 behind the Yankees as the top wild card spot. Still got some work to do in the division, but they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and that's just take care of business when business needs to be taken care of.
We're where you want to be.
That's right.
It is.
With the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time, loving the fun.
You want to see
enjoy your ride to work. You're gonna hear this song a lot today.
The ball.
The hell, you're gonna hear this song until they stop losing.
That's right.
Like stop winning.
For the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Way back Wednesday.
The best of
nobody requested this song for a way back Wednesday.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you said it last night.
The excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happened.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
You know, don't look now, though. The Cleveland Indians just tied the Phillies for the best record in Major League Baseball.
Good team over there.
Yep.
Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Trade deadline. Very active yesterday. A lot of people, very active yesterday. Will the Royals make any more moves? They haven't done anything and it's 2 p.m.
They made four trades leading up to the trade deadline.
We discussed that. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Welcome to 610 Sports Radio on a Wednesday morning. Back here on a way back Wednesday on Fesco in the morning. Damn glad to have you on a victory Wednesday because the Royals keep playing the White Sox. The Royals keep winning. Today, Singer takes the slab at 1:10. Pregame starts at 12 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you. Way back Wednesday, you text in your name and the song request, and then Mac will play it. Maybe. Mac, where's this one coming from?
This is from Ozzy. Obviously, bye, 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 NSYNC. He says, thanks, mate. Dusty's 267th bone. We'll know why.
Here we go. Shout out Ryan Reynolds. I don't want to spoil anything, but might be a reference to the new Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Ah, gotcha.
When do spoilers no longer matter anymore, right? Like how long do you have to give something before? Because that movie came out last weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if it's out a week,
no,
2 weeks, is it out a month? Is it out a year? Like, where do you find yourself with the spoiler? We received a direct message yesterday, at least I did on Twitter, from a listener saying that they do not want us to report the Olympic Games because they are going home and watching the Olympic Games, and by us talking about it, it's ruining their morning or their afternoon. I got to be honest with you. This is not on demand radio. So we will do what we want here, how we want to do it. And when events are happening live, we're going to report on them, just like the 3-on-3 men's basketball and Jimmer Fredette getting their doors blown off today in that 3-on-3 competition. Not good. 22-14, I think, is what the final was that I saw on ESPN.com when I woke up this morning. So so spoiler alert from a sports standpoint. I mean, if you're trying to avoid the sports and what's going on, and we've all been there before, right? Like you've recorded a game, you don't want to know what's going on, or you were telling me Vern during the Masters, during baseball season, recorded, doesn't want to know anything that's going on with the Masters and whatnot.
I respect that.
Fine. That's great.
The day of.
That's right. But you go about what you need to do to avoid that. You don't tell others what to do to make you avoid that. Like if you're at your kid's soccer game, which we've all been there, on a noon Sunday and the Chiefs are playing and you don't want to know what's going on in that game, put your phone away, tell the other parents, hey, I'm recording the game, don't give me updates about what's going on, and move about your life, right? Don't sit there and demand that nobody else can watch or have any idea what's going on. So that's why I ask, you know, the movie came out last Friday. When is the statute of limitations for spoilers allowed to be used? Because on social media, people are tweeting and talking and doing all that stuff and posting about it right from the jump. So I think we kind of lost the whole the spoiler thing, because people spoil everything right now. I mean, social media, in a nutshell, has spoiled life.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Game of Thrones spinoff, House of the Dragon, and I won't get on Twitter if I see some sort of reference. I'll try to scroll faster.
Yeah.
And also, that's my fault if I'm on social media knowing that I haven't seen it. And it's on me. Like, I know the ways to get around it.
Well, it's 2024. It's somebody else's fault, Dusty. I don't know if you're familiar with the way that we operate these days.
Me? No, it's not. And again, with the spoiler for the movies, I don't think there's ever a time frame, because obviously schedules, like I would never like in fact, Friday night when I got home, a couple buddies came over and after the movie and had a couple patio brews.
Right.
And one of my buddies just straight up asked me a question about the movie. And my other buddy was like, I don't want to hear anything. He's like, just tell me this little bit of information. I was like, it's up to you. I'll tell you if you want to.
Sure.
But for the most part, spoilers are a Richard move. And especially if the movie came out Friday, I think if this is the case with like this sort of movie, I think you got to give it at least a month before you can be like, oh yeah, that happened. Because by then, if it's been a month and the movie's been out and it's a highly sought after movie and you haven't seen it yet, you either A, don't care, or B, you've either seen it or you've already heard the rumors.
Right. And that's where I kind of fall. I'm in the A, don't care category, right? Like, and I was thinking about this.
Tell me what happens.
Yeah. But I'm a terrible show watcher. I was driving in listening to Ben this morning and they were talking about this show called Palm Royale. I don't know if you've caught any of this. I think it's on Apple TV or whatever. And I started watching it, you know, in one of those moments of killing time. And I got through about 3 or 4 episodes and I've just moved on. Like, I don't care if I hear spoilers. I can join it later in progress. I do maintain that if it wasn't for COVID, I probably never would have watched Breaking Bad from start to finish, because I'm just a bad show watcher. And I'm so glad for that standpoint that I was able to sit down and watch that show from beginning to end, because it is now my favorite show of all time.
It's the best show ever.
It's just a remarkable, remarkable TV show. Like, I cried when I didn't want it to end. I felt like I was losing a part of my life or something.
Well, good you know, for you, it's not over, because they're show... coming out with Heisenberg.
Oh, they are? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he wakes up in his hospital bed, arrested to the bed.
Oh,
that's all we know.
Really? When does that come out?
I'm not sure, but I know it's coming.
Oh, so are you serious? I didn't see that. That's awesome.
I looked this up this weekend because I was having the same exact conversation. I think we may have gotten duped, Dusty. I'll double check, but I would say,
Really? Like an April Fool's joke or something like that?
Yeah, Heisberg, and they showed the guy, getting out of the hospital. And
was it on, like, TV, or was it on Twitter. Social media?
They made a post, and, like, Cranston and everything, I thought were behind it. But speaking of rumors, there's a lot of trade rumors. This was Michael Massey on what it's like. This was post-game on Bally Sports Network, but this was what he said, what it's like to be on the opposite side of it.
Does being, buyers at the deadline invigorate you guys at all, being able to add major league pieces?
Yeah, I mean, this is my first experience with it, so it's a heck of a lot better than being a seller and seeing guys go. And, you know, obviously, being in a position we are is a lot better than where we were last year. So just excited for the last couple months here and ready to compete.
Bob, they were very active yesterday after we left this building.
Yeah, they were very active yesterday, but all told, I mean, they went out and acquired 4 different players, you know, before the trade deadline. You know, you got Hunter Harvey coming in about a week ago. People don't like to, you know, count those as moves, right? You tried to get Hunter Harvey yesterday and you're going to pay probably at least another prospect or two more than what you paid 10 days ago to get him. Yeah. So that's a move that counts. You got Lorenzen 2 days ago, right? And people look at that and they go, well, that wasn't necessarily it. No, it was a trade deadline move. And we'll get to Lorenzen in a second, some information I want to share about him. And then yesterday they go out and they get Lucas Erceg from Oakland. And I was watching some highlights of him. He's got some pretty nasty stuff. And Dallas Braden, who's a former big leaguer, had a lot of great things to say about him on social media yesterday. And then they get Paul DeJong. And it's an interesting one, because I think the DeJong trade was more about, hey, man, let's send this guy who's a veteran playing for a very bad bad team to a team that has an opportunity to win games. But
across the diamond,
right? Like switch dugouts
already
today.
Out in royal
I
blue,
love
dude.
Those trades. Those are my favorite trades when they trade with a team that they're playing each other and the guy just walks across the hallway, right? Like
this team sucks.
Yeah, I'm going over to this team. I'm joining you guys, man. This other team blows. Can I join you?
Can I do a 31 improved winning team?
Yeah, like that. All of a sudden went from you know the death's door to the playoff door, right?
Yeah.
But where does he really fit in, right? Because he's obviously not playing shortstop for you.
Sure.
He's a guy that can play a bunch of different positions, though. He can play a little third. He can play a little, you know,
like a
second.
Poor man Zobrist.
Yes, a very poor man Zobrist right now, because I don't think he can play the outfield like Ben Zobrist could play the outfield. I was kind of going through his stuff the other day, and I don't see much of an outfield presence from Paul DeJong. But what he does is he gives you a veteran bat off the bench late, you know, in games. They got a guy in 2014, Ty Willingham. Remember that name?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they got Ty Willingham, and what was his job on the roster? Kind of like a late-inning guy, maybe late in the game. Not a real big name, but a veteran bat that you could count on, right?
Or a day game, getaway game that you need to rest guys for.
Yeah, give somebody a rest. But at this point in the season, I don't know that you're doing much resting, right?
Or who wants to sit out at
this point? But maybe it's a little bit of a wake-up call for Michael Garcia, like, hey, you start swinging the bat a little bit better. We got Paul DeJong in here now, who's a veteran presence. But I don't think he's going to move anybody technically out of a starting lineup position. I just think he's a nice bat to have off the bench late in games when you need a bat, and you will need a veteran bat that has postseason experience when the postseason comes around. So they made a bunch of moves yesterday, and I know they're very happy with them. I talked to some folks in the organization last night, and they had a goal in mind, and they set out and they accomplished that goal. And what they did is very reminiscent to me what Brett Veach does every offseason. Looks at what doesn't work, goes out there and addresses that and fixes it, even if the fans are yelling and saying, hey, this isn't working. They recognize that, and they go and fix it. And that's what the Royals did. I mean, everybody's been yelling about the bullpen, and they went out and fixed the bullpen. The Lorenzen one is interesting because I do believe that he's going to end up being a starter. I think that's going to be the goal of the organization, is to get him in as a starter for this and probably move Marsh into the bullpen. And so when you look at the way that that's going to line up, if Lorenzen does turn into that starter, I think that they want him to be, and then you move Marsh into the bullpen, well, you've gotten better in two areas by just flip-flopping guys, because I think at the end of the day, Marsh is going to be a lot more valuable to you in this postseason chase and in the postseason coming out of the bullpen, because you need as many reliable arms as you can see. And if you don't understand how it needs to be in the bullpen, just look at the Chicago White Sox and how awful their bullpen has been, how many leads that they have blown this year in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning because they can't shut down games. I want our best arms, our most reliable arms, coming out of the bullpen to get those last 9 outs.
A lot of moves, a lot of pushing forward for the playoffs. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We come back. There's some signings. We shift into the football side of things. This is fun. Talk Royals. We can still talk Chiefs, but two guys that came up when it comes to signing. I'm going to take a break and drink some coffee out of my Manning Yeti coffee cup. Bob, let the people know on the other side. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning. 913-586-7610. It's a Way Back Wednesday. You text in what song you want to hear. Leave your name and Mac plays it. Mac?
Who's playing the Cranberries today? Who wants this one?
I think this is Tom Hanks.
This is. That Thing You Do, the wonders from the fictional movie back in the day in the 90s. Dustin in Derby, Kansas.
Great
Thanks,
name.
Dustin.
Fantastic
Way
name.
Way to go, Dustin out in Derby, Kansas. Yeah.
Dustin, do I have time for a hot dog?
Do you have time for a hot dog? What's the earliest time you've ever eaten a hot dog?
8 a.m. at a golf course.
Okay, that's fair,
Ooh,
right?
That's early.
Yeah. That is early.
I had a Bloody Mary and a hot dog. Dude, they were ready, and it was money.
It was money.
I once cored out the hot dog and used that as my straw.
Oh, gross.
Mm-hmm, glizzy slipper.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Like that guy, was it the guy at the Yankee game years ago that was doing that? How nasty is that, man? Like, seriously, you're using the hot dog as a straw? I could think of better things to do with the hot dog. Like, I don't know, put some mustard on that sucker and eat it. You
ever made eye contact with somebody while eating a hot dog?
I don't know that I'd have to think about that.
It'll change your life,
man. Will it? I like a good hot dog.
The way that somebody, that other person look at you and you just like, you directly just like one of these.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, well.
Glizzy and gullet. Eye contact.
God. Yep. That's right. I just love it. No, I love everybody listening today. This is Fesco in the Morning on a Wednesday. Royals win last night 4-3. They won the night before that as well.
They're winning some ball games now.
The boys are
Dusty.
Playing some ball.
The boys are winning some games. They got a day game today after a night game. I know for a lot of baseball people, that's whack and very difficult for them, the day game after a night game, but they'll figure it out. Brady Singer going today. He's towing the slab, as the nerds like to say.
go out there and shove.
Yeah. Yeah, go out there and shove, man.
I love that, though. I love the shove reference.
We'll see if Brady Singer goes out there and shoves, right? I think
back-to-back
he's going
to
probably do
games,
that. Let's
coming
go.
Off of a back-to-back really good starts, but let's shift because we can, because we are in the mecca of the sports land.
We really are.
I mean, I'm not being sarcastic there. And I know a lot of people are like, man, been enjoying you on the radio with your sarcastic ass humor. Well,
what sarcastic ass humor? There's been nothing sarcastic about anything.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Chiefs signings. There's been some rumors that two of the four that we've been talking about all offseason, we brought up the names Nick Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
We brought up the names Creed Humphrey.
Okay.
Trey Smith. And the one that everybody seemed to forget about was Harrison Butker.
Right.
Rumors that the Chiefs are looking to get a deal done with two of those four, and those two are Bob.
Yeah, they're Creed Humphrey and Harrison Butker right now. And you know, there was a tweet floating around, you know, yesterday about, you know, whether or not they're going to get deals done with these guys. And the fact of the matter is they're in talks with Creed Humphrey and Harrison Butker. I think that's fair. I can say that. And I think that's good. I think Creed, you know, to me, I would take a pause right now and say, let's see if you can get the snaps up this year. If you can do that, fine, I'll sign you. You're very good at what you do. Harrison Butker, to me, next to Justin Tucker, is the best kicker in the NFL, and you can't take that for granted. We have seen over the years, and I think every organization has seen over the years, what an unreliable kicker means, and as long as Harrison Butker wants to continue to go out there and kick the ball through the uprights at a 90% success rate, then I think Harrison Butker is that guy that needs to get signed here in Kansas City, because the last thing you want to do is have a, you know, 38-38 game and a 3 second left, and you roll out a guy who can't kick, and it goes all, you know, Lynn Elliott on you. So Harrison Butker to me is an important one to get signed. Creed is a good one to get signed. And I also like when you sign your own guys and get your guys taken care of too.
Homegrown.
I think it sends a message that, you know, you come here, you do the work and you perform, we are going to take care of you. And obviously they think very highly of Creed. They think very highly of Harrison Butker. And usually with the MO with the organization, especially those interior linemen, they come in here, they draft them, they move on from them, right? You saw that with Rodney Hudson. You saw that with Mitch Morris. And now Creed Humphrey seems to be like a guy that maybe they want to keep around. Now, what does that mean for Trey Smith? I don't know the answer to that question yet. Mm-hmm. Joe Tooney's coming up on a contract where he is going to be free at the end of the season. And they drafted this Hunter Norzad. And I don't know about you, Dusty, or Mac, or anybody listening. Well, probably people listening have a better option at this than you guys do. When was the last time you ended up down a Hunter Norzad rabbit hole?
Draft day.
Draft day. Okay.
Because he was drafted as like a center / guard, right?
He plays every position along the offensive line, this guy does. And
love
so he started at Holy Cross, which is like a 1AA type of school, and then finished his career at Penn State.
Holy cow.
At Holy Cross, he was a right tackle, and then he moved to guard, and then he played center. So this guy's mm-hmm. played all along the offensive line, fitting into that mold of, you know, kind of like what the Chiefs like to do. And so if Joe Tooney ends up moving on after this season, or Trey Smith ends up moving on after, because Trey's getting paid by somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's here in Kansas City or elsewhere, Trey Smith is getting a huge effing payday and deserves to get a huge effing payday. I would pay him over the center, but that's just me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got this Norzad guy who I'm interested to see what they ultimately decide to do with him, because he can play all along that line of scrimmage and give you kind of depth and give you versatility and whatnot. So I think once you get Creed and Butker done, then we see what we do with Trey Smith and see what we do with Bolton. But I don't know, man. Like, I think as the days go by, I think Bolton probably is maybe like a fringe guy. As much as I like him and he tackles everybody, they don't seem to like invest a lot of money into that position, you know?
Fair enough.
So we'll see.
I like Harrison Butker because he's like the Wade Davis of the football team. You know that if you're down,
he's
your closer.
It's a good comp.
If you don't have him, the 13-second game doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
I mean, I know Mahomes was great. Hill and Kelsey made the catches, but without Butker in that game, I mean, against Cincinnati, against the Bills, like the Super Bowl. I mean, hold my beer. Guy hits longest Super Bowl field goal record of all time. Butker comes out like 12 minutes later.
Yeah.
I got this one,
and I'm going to make it the
Kansas
longest
City
ever.
That they had to put him, that they had to replace him for because he was injured two seasons ago, makes longest field goal kick in Kansas City history in the stadium in Arrowhead.
Right.
Next week, Butker comes back. Yep. I got this.
But I think you're also seeing, too, remember when Butker was going through those struggles with that injury? He was never healthy 2 years ago. And that's why they, you know, stuck with him. They, you know, he through all the struggles, they're like, we're not getting rid of this guy.
Right.
You know, like, he's in a little bit of a funk right now, but his ankle's the size of a grapefruit. And so we're sticking with him because next to Justin Tucker, and maybe more so than Justin Tucker right now. I don't know where the line of delineation is between those two kickers, but he's one of the best in the league, one of the best to have ever done it, and that's just something that can't be compromised. And I do like the closer comparison. The good thing is kickers have a little bit longer shelf life than closers do,
right.
But you want to have that reliable guy. You don't want that bullpen door to open in the ninth inning and see somebody standing there that doesn't have a clue on how to get somebody out, or
like
you
last
know,
night.
Yeah, or you've got yourself a situation, you know, with, you know, down three with 3 seconds to go and an opportunity to tie a game. You don't want to trot out some loser.
Here comes
right?
Justin Reed
yeah,
to win the game.
Right, exactly. You don't want some turd bird out there trying to kick you a field goal. So you sign Harrison Bucker. It's worth every penny of it.
89.1%, second best field goal percentage ever, right behind Justin Tucker. And that's yeah. even with that struggle that you said, Bob.
Yeah, right, exactly. Imagine if he didn't have the
exactly.
injury, how much better that statistical number would be. That's an eye-opening stat. 89% of his kicks.
Pretty
like
good.
Back in the day, you would look at kickers and they were like 68%. You're like, wow, that's pretty
really good.
This guy's 90%. He's hitting 90%. Until that number starts to diminish, he's worth every freaking penny that you can spend.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Bob, tell your friend, spoiler alert's coming. We get into the Olympics and
uh-oh.
We get to have a little bit of fun. We've been so serious. Now we get to have a little fun here on Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Ah, the old Jamal Charles song. Jamal Charles, take it to the house. We used to sing that back in the day. Welcome back to Way Back Wednesday on Fesco in the Morning. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on this wonderful Wednesday of a throwback Wednesday or Way Back Wednesday. You text in what song you want to hear. You leave
maybe
your name.
Maybe we change it to a throwback Thursday because, you know, people like alliteration.
Never know.
This or could, for you Friday.
And this could be your last chance at a Way Back Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a spoiler.
I know.
I'm not trying to be a spoiler.
This
you just
could
never
be
know
it.
When, you never know when the boss is going to nip these in the bud. Mac, what's this song come from?
Yeah, it could be the last one. I'm glad Teresa and Shawnee got in on the action. This is Boogie Shoes by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Mm. All right, Teresa, good song. You know that band was named after Kansas City, right?
I'm going to let that one sit for a while.
Look it up.
Mm-hmm. Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Yeah. It was actually named after Casey Jones. People think the Grateful Dead wrote a song about him.
You better watch your speed, Casey Jones.
We'll talk to Q about that coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
I can't wait to talk to him because I want to know if he gave Vance Wilson the game ball last night.
Remember
and
that?
If he's listening to you.
Yeah.
Because ever since Bob Fesco said, put Michael Massey at the top of the lineup, he seems like a good leadoff guy. Been pretty good.
Had a home run last night.
Big home run.
More like Michael Mashey. Am I right?
Okay.
Am I right?
I want to go way back and not hear that again.
Michael Mashey. Hashtag. Am I right?
Okay. Spelled with an A.
M A S H dash E Y. Michael Mashey.
A M R I T E.
A M R I T E. A M I R I T E. Am I right?
Am I right?
You think I should drop the Michael Mashey on cue today? I think I will.
I don't know if that's
I think I'll hear him roll his eyes and say next question.
You know
No,
what?
He's got humor. Matheny
yeah.
didn't have any humor.
No, he's dry humor.
Yeah.
And he also
which is perfect.
What I've found out throughout this season, I've also been a victim of this. He hates when people compare last year to this year.
Because there's no comparison. I started that at the beginning of the year. It's like there's 17 new people on this team. It has nothing to do with last year.
Because I remember they had won their like 27th game before it was something like that. And I was like, last year this team didn't win their 27th game until July 29th or whatever it was.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you know, last year is just, it's not even comparable. This
it's
team's
not.
So different than last year. And then somebody asked him not too long ago the other night, they're like, hey, you just, you know, surpassed your win total from last year to this year. How does this team, you know, differentiate? He's like, it's not. You can just tell he's just like, I'm not answering these questions again.
So. Yeah, it's why when the season started and everybody was picking the Royals to be bad based on last season, I was the only one who said, wait a second here. We have 17 new players on this team. How can we judge what this team is going to do based on what they did last year when 17 of the stumble bums that were on the team last year are no longer around?
Yes.
And like people don't want to get that. Well, it's hard. And they changed the entire roster.
Yeah.
Well, it's still. Okay, baseball nerd. Go back to your mom's basement.
Oh, man.
Sometimes mom's basement was nice.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. You're enjoying it now, right?
Yeah. Mom's basement.
Yeah, it's
come on,
like,
man.
Easy.
Be nice over there.
Yeah, good.
Me and my lore and my harp will go over to the mom's basement.
Exactly. You take your stats and your advanced metrics and you sit in a corner on a Friday night and make sure numbers bounce off the charts.
I'm going to buy
Bob. I'll just look at what the reality is here.
I'm going to buy Bob like 3 shirts for Christmas and one of them say, don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet.
Yeah. I hate that shirt, too.
Enjoy you see your people, mom's basement, nerd.
Well, it is. I mean, people would buy those shirts. I bet if we wanted to sell them and make some money off them, I bet people would buy them because that's what it is. Like, people in baseball, man, they just at times don't see a gray area in everything. Everything for these folks is like just black and white. They changed 17 people on the roster. You know how many people are on the roster, sir? 26. Right. They changed out 17 of those. That's a pretty high percentage. Last year literally has nothing to do with anything that was going to take place this year. But people love to do that with baseball. Well, last year, you can only improve by 5 or 6 games because Vorp tells you so.
You were good, kid. Real good. As long as I'm around, you'll always be second best, eh? That's the shirt idea. Dusty loves your mom. Bob hates her basement.
That's right. Yeah.
we'd get our asses kicked if we wore that in public.
Probably so.
Speaking of getting your ass kicked, how about the United States just absolutely dominating the medal count?
Not enough golds. Not enough golds. Yeah. Not enough golds. We need to do better in the golds. I'm a little disappointed in our gold medal count, but overall, we're kicking ass and taking names right now. But let's go, USA.
You know you're probably going to get a gold in basketball. You probably know you're going to get a gold in another swimming event. Ledecky's going to do the 1500 meter today?
Yeah.
Yep.
So she's probably...
No, tomorrow, right?
Is it tomorrow? Because
she did yesterday. Doesn't she have an off day? And
I thought it was.
Is it today? They're making her do back-to-back days on that?
I think she's fine the way she won yesterday. She kind of coasted the last 10 laps.
Yeah.
Probably going to get a gold there. Golf's a crapshoot. Men's soccer looked good yesterday,
making the quarterfinals, man. Finally, our national disappointment in sports is actually doing something.
So there's still golds on the table, and, you know, obviously we're not going to win gold in fencing.
Why not? Because it's over already.
Yeah, it's already over. Oh. But we had a little fun discussion. Olympics
are
still
going. But if we didn't win, does it really count? Like, can't we, like, redo it and just make America on top? Like, we're America, man. We should get gold in everything.
This isn't a millennial sport. It's the Olympics.
Okay.
But we had a little fun conversation building last night, and it was, sorry, spoiler alert, the Olympics. Right now, BMX is going on. I don't know if anybody's super into that, but...
I don't know. I think it's cool. Like, we used to do this stuff as kids, not, like, to this extent.
You were doing that.
Yeah, we would build dirt tracks and things like that. You'd ride your bike around, have a couple of lifts and whatnot, and a couple of hills you go over and things of that nature. Nothing like this, obviously, but I think it's still cool to watch something like this. I'm kind of glad that it's an Olympic sport. It's better than watching something that you really don't relate to in the Olympics, you know?
What the Olympics do, they open your eyes to a sport that you didn't think was a sport or how it's, you know, viewed or judged. I didn't know. It always throws me back watching these things to my old black and blue and white Diamondback bike with pegs on the back.
Oh,
tire.
Yeah, that's an old school type of bike.
That was you had one of those, man. Yeah. It was great.
A Diamondback. You're lucky. You grew up in Johnson County.
Grew up in Blue Springs, and I used a lot of allowance and birthday money to buy that bike.
Yeah,
my buddy had a Mongoose, and I had a Diamondback, and we were the coolest kids on the block. Dude.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I had like a BMX.
Yeah, dude, it was great. Yeah. And I could only do Papa wheelies every once in a while.
But that's what we would do. I mean, it was the little things like that. You didn't twist the bike and spin it over your head and do all kinds of jumps like that. But it's cool to watch, man. I love watching what these Olympians are doing.
Speaking of watching the Olympics, we were talking, Mac, Bob, and I last night about if you had 4 years to train for any Olympic sport, 913-586-7610, J Southland Tow Service text line, feel free to engage. That's what we like to do with you. You can do it with us. If you had 4 years to train for one Olympic sport, what do you think you'd have the best chance of doing to qualify for the Olympics if you had 4 years to play?
If I just dedicated myself, no work, no children, no wife, it was 100% in on training for the Olympics, right?
You pulled a cling and just ran away.
Just
went straight to one sport.
Okay, fencing.
Of course.
I think fencing because everything
always
else.
Always watch your rear.
Because I think with fencing, and I'm not demeaning fencing, and I'm sure there's some foiler out there that's going to be pissed or some saber or somebody like that that's going to show up with a metal detector.
It's harder than you think.
You have no idea how hard fencing is. But I can tell you this. I'm too scared to do like surfing and BMX. I can't play basketball. I'm never going to play soccer. I'm not good at billiards. I just think if I put my dedication to it, I could turn into a pretty good fencer. I don't think it's quote unquote that difficult of a sport based on what we're seeing in the Olympics. I would never be good at dressage. I tell you that right now. I wouldn't have the patience to train a horse.
Yeah. I mean, Cheyenne and Sales downstairs said it was very tough. Like you have to like, it's literally like, it's literally like a child. You have to like build trust. You have to, you know, you have to understand that like you're going to mount this horse. You're going to be their person. What? You're going to do all that sort of stuff. So, you know, never mounted a horse?
No.
Oh.
I can't say that I have. Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on a horse.
All right.
Loved it.
Even after they foisted fencing.
I've been on a horse, but
it's not.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy, they say.
That's right.
Mac, if you had 4 years to train for an Olympic sport, which one do you think you'd be okay at?
First of all, none of them. We know this, but for the sake of the game,
and that's the thing. Yeah. You're right. None of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's be clear. Fence. This is very insulting to the athletes, but we don't care. We love this game. Give me badminton.
Badminton. Okay. See the shuttlecock will always get stuck in my net like that. My racket. You know, like every time I play badminton, that shuttlecock gets stuck.
Well, like I saw.
Do you ever have your shuttlecock get stuck in a net?
I just tried to breeze past.
No, can't say I have.
I guess I got to get a better, you know, better racket with tighter threads or whatever. And you got to move it, and like the shuttlecock always gets stuck.
Badminton's a great sport.
Yeah,
I'd rather play that in the side yard for a family cookout than volleyball. I like pool volleyball.
Yeah, pool volleyball.
But I'd rather play
fun.
Badminton.
Yeah.
Shout out Coach McClagan from Blue Springs High School. Taught me how to do that sport.
All right.
Yeah, badminton, exactly. High school gym. Played a lot of badminton.
Yeah, badminton, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can really get the opponent running if you do it right. You can hit the shuttlecock high in the back corner, and then they go running for it, and then you get the little, like, kill shot where it just bills over the net. It's fun to watch those guys go. The dual badminton, fun sport. I have maybe two. I think if I dedicated 4 years of my life to strictly playing golf, I think I'd qualify for Olympic golf. Again, obviously I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But currently a 13 handicap, I think that's pretty good.
Is
Nobody
that Olympic?
Cares.
Is that
no,
Olympic?
Dude, No, these guys are like plus four, which means they shoot four under more often than not on their handicap. But
Tell us about your fantasy team now.
Dedication towards the sport, though, is the narrative of this conversation. I think that or sand volleyball.
Sand volleyball.
Okay. Yeah, I think I could be a good,
like
I would
libero?
Never be the guy that could go up through the net.
Yeah,
but I can set, I think, pretty well, and I'm not afraid to dig it. You dig?
Yeah, there's the fencing text. Yes, I dig. Sand volleyball's harder, though, than it looks because,
that's hard.
They're like
it's
the
a
ground.
Calf workout.
And,
you ever played it just on a whim, like a bunch of buddies are
out? God,
And then you wake up the next morning, like, what did I do?
Like,
you just ran through sand for 3 hours, Terry.
Yeah, like it's awful. Like running on sand is terrible. Like, there's a nice beach. I'm going to go out and run on the beach. And then you get down there, you're like, oh my God, this is a workout. I'm going to go back and drink a cocktail. I don't have time for this nonsense.
913-586-7610. If you could train for 4 solid years for an Olympic sport, what do you think you'd qualify?
Yeah.
Text line brings in ping pong.
Ping pong, that'd maybe. Be, but no I don't know, no man. Way. Like that. Okay. That looks like a violent game. Like you. I would wear full padding if I was playing ping pong because I'd be getting jacked.
I'd put that in the hardest to qualify.
Yeah,
no
I think
way,
ping
dude.
Pong would be very, very hard. Yeah.
They said it's a skill that I'm a little above average at. I feel like 4 years I can make a run at the Olympics. Probably not, but it could help.
Yeah,
I love it though.
Raw bench press.
Whoa. What you benching right now, bro?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then 913, I always figured Dusty liked pegs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. From the 816, if you're whacking your shuttlecock too hard, if it's getting stuck, yeah, probably so. You got to hit it the exact right way. It's
Right angle.
Very light hit.
Yeah,
very
you know, it's,
light
it's wrist.
Yeah, a lot of wrist when you hit your shuttlecock.
Well, you don't want to hit it. You really want to have more of a
finesse.
You want to like swing with the shuttlecock, guide it.
Yeah, stroke
guide
it.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. You want to, yeah, exactly. Like a stroke. Yes.
If you had Bob saying shuttlecock over 6.5 times, you've just collected.
Right.
610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.